FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, it's that special time of the month. March is over. We're on to April Fool's Day, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. Good to be back.
Hey, so the stock markets looks like, at least temporarily for anyway, they've kind of hit a wall, huh?
Kind of looks that way. The big boys were up a bit over the month. NASDAQ was a big loser, down 2.5%. At one point, I thought we were going to challenge the 2000 dot-com spike, but that looks like it's not going to happen now. The small caps were down a bit. The more or less through the first quarter, everything was flat, with the exception of the Toronto Exchange, which was up 5%. I think that's has something to do with it. Certainly isn't because commodities are better, but the mining companies are doing better. The big winner was the Venture Exchange. It couldn't go much lower, but it hit a high over the month of about 1046 on the index, and then it pulled back. It's a little bit less than 1,000 right now, but up 7% over the quarter. Big performer. If anybody's interested, I'll do a little self-promotion. I wrote a musing, which was posted to the public yesterday, called "It's Getting Better," and it gives as far as a fundamental guy like me can do technical analysis. I saw some similarities to the period about 25 years ago. So I make that case that the Venture Exchange is bottomed and we should be looking for better things. Speaking of better, the emerging markets were up 3% on the month, but still down a quarter, for the quarter, 1%.
And interestingly enough, the emerging markets and the venture closed at exactly the same number. Whether you can draw any inferences from that, I doubt it. But
I had not noticed that, but as I look at the at our numbers here, you're indeed correct.
Yep, both at 995, so right. Take it for what it's worth, probably not much. And then we move on to the metals.
Yeah, gold up 7.5% over the quarter, and it was quite an interesting month. Gold hit a 7-month high over the month, somewhere around 1380. There was some talk it was going to 1400, but then some geopolitical events happened, and lessened buying in China, and Yellen did her quantitative tapering, knocked it right back down to finish less than 1300. Silver mucked around and ended up less than $20 at the end of the month. The big winner was palladium, once again up 4% over the month, but more importantly, hit a one-year high and finish up the quarter 9%. So that, of course, affected the platinum-palladium ratio. Now at a low since we've been tracking. Seems like every month we're making a low on that ratio of a little bit more than 1.8. The gold to WTI ratio is still about same, a little less than 13. Barrels of oil by an ounce of gold. And the big loser for the month was copper. It got beaten up unmercifully. We had a default by part of the company in the Chinese shadow banking industry where they use copper as collateral. Got knocked down to 292. It climbed back to a little bit better than $3 at the end of the month, but still down 10% in the first quarter of the year.
Okay. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention palladium, where is virtually the entire world supply of palladium produced?
Well, two countries, South Africa and Russia, both produce about 40% of annual supply. Geopolitical situations in both those countries at this point leave a little less than desired. and the auto industry is going along quite boisterously, both in China and the U.S., and that's what palladium is mainly used for, is catalysts in gasoline-burning cars.
Exactly. And I think they use it in refineries as well to crack oil.
Yeah, both platinum and palladium. Mainly platinum is used as catalysts in cracking petroleum. But that, for both those metals, is a relatively minor use at this stage.
Right. And speaking of oil, we go on to energy.
Yeah, energy was, with all this geopolitical situation in a very energy-sensitive part of the world, specifically, we had geopolitical things going on, the usual in Syria. We had some unrest in Venezuela, unrest in Egypt, and then in the Ukraine with all those pipelines, gas pipelines especially going across supplying Western Europe. It was puzzling to me that the oils didn't really react. They were both off 1%. What we have seen is very strong narrowing of the WTI to Brent arbitrage, about 7% since first of the year. Henry Hub dropped back 5.5%, and it's essentially Henry Hub gas is essentially where it started. When it started to rise around the first of the year, it's up 3% over the year. So as we go into this season now, the spring season, the low season, we would expect gas to fall off a bit. Although I guess in the Northeast or the upper Midwest, it's still just about as cold as you know what. A friend of mine in suburban Chicago sent me a photo yesterday, and there's still snow piled 2 meters high outside his driveway. So a horrible winter in parts of the Northeast and especially upper Midwest. I think the Great Lakes are still frozen, or at least the last time I flew over them a couple of weeks ago, they were.
Yeah, times like this, I'm happy to be living in a semi-tropical climate, I'll tell you that. This was just an unbelievable winter, and not to dwell on it, but the underground supply of nat gas is, as of a couple of weeks ago, is 50% of normal. So there's going to be some rebuilding of those supplies, could keep that price up for a little bit to come for the next few months for sure.
Yeah, so. We need inventories to go back up here to support gas price. So. Also, uranium pullback and basically is where it finished at the end of the year at $34 and change. So although we've done very well in uranium equities, supply, short-term supply demand fundamentals don't look particularly bullish.
Yeah, that's for sure. So to say the least, man, I've been waiting for uranium. It's gonna kick in at some point, inevitably. Yep. Every dog has its day.
Well, you know, it's the nature of being a contrarian. You have to have patience. So,
yeah,
and we will be very patient with our uranium producers, although they have had very good returns since first year.
For sure. So it could be presaging something to come in the actual market, no doubt. So going to our currencies again, not a lot of action, but. Some.
Well, yeah, U.S. dollar index creeped above 80 again, but geez, it just it seems to flip from one side to the other with a couple of other perturbations. You know, got up to 83 last summer, but around 80, The euro's flat, still at $1.38, basically unchanged for the month and the quarter. The big change for the month was in the 10-year treasury bonds, interest rates up 2.6%, but it's the rate is still 2.73%, which is not good. But probably more interesting is the shorts got their shorts handed to them again this quarter with that treasury off 10% over the month. So I'm sure there's some short squeezing going on there. About the only other thing I can say is I finally accepted my lot. I am now a supporter of a socialistic program. I signed up for Obamacare yesterday, Kerry.
Oh, congratulations.
Basically because I decided I was unwilling to take a penalty from the IRS, although the amount that I'm paying is probably well more than double the IRS penalty. I decided I did not want to get on that blacklist and risk the ire of the United States Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah, well, can't blame you for that. Hey, and even though it's not a currency, according to the government, Bitcoin trading at $488.71 took quite a hit from when we were in Vegas when it was close to $700. The government has decided that Bitcoin is actually property, not a currency.
Surprise, surprise. I mean, we talked about this for several months now since Bitcoin went exponential, and if memory serves, went to $1,100 or more. We said what goes up must come down, and that came down, and came down very steeply. The catalyst for that was one of the biggest exchanges basically went bankrupt, and then we had another exchange where all the Bitcoins were stolen. And I'm not a cryptocurrency fan, and I don't think I'll become one. I'm a fan of gold, and I want those nice little bars and coins and nuggets in my own physical possession.
Yeah, preferably buried in cans, deep under the surface of your property, in places where nobody can find them.
Well, I'm not sure you want to bury them in cans because you can find them with metal detectors. But I've been told, and I don't know this for a fact, but if you put a bunch of aluminum foil over everything, it kind of scatters the magnetic signature, makes it very hard to find. So some people choose to bury it in their backyard. I'm not going to tell you where I store my gold or what I do with it.
Me neither.
Because then you would become very compromised, Kerry.
Exactly. So suffice it to say, it's not a bad thing to have. And place it in a place and don't tell anybody else about it other than your closest family. In a sealed envelope to be opened in the event of your untimely demise, as it were. And on that note, you find Mickey's musings at mercenarygeologist.com. Of course, we always have links to his site in the show notes to these interviews on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Don't forget, subscribe to our newsletter. We just had a great newsletter, much heralded. It's gotten reprinted all over the place about the fact that they're not printing much new money. Those new Jack Lew notes are just not finding their way into circulation for some reason that will remain a mystery. And when you're in Starbucks and you don't have any cash, use the app to tip your barista. That's all we can tell you. Mickey, we will talk to you next month. And hey, what can I tell you? Be well, stay warm, and don't work too hard.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kerry. Always good to talk to you.
You too.